Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
It is so great to see you. Those of you that are streaming online, it's great to have you in the journey with us this morning. Those of you that are here on campus, it's good to see your faces as well. So excited about what God is doing in our journey through the fall this season, doing this together as a church family. How many of you love good news? Amen. Good news is good stuff, right? We're going to be talking a lot about that this morning, but I do want to just tag on with what Pastor Tom was saying. We are in our Unity series, and we're taking this from what Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:25. I'll just read it for you real quick. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand." So we just decided that this year that we'll do everything we can to actually work together in the spirit of unity as a church family and watch God do what only God can do when his kids get together and say, we're going to hold on to each other. We're going to walk through the process of whatever this year has for us. And we're going to watch God do what only he can do in the middle of that. So I want to encourage you this morning to open your hearts and open your minds to what God has to say for us. Right wherever you're streaming the service this morning, or those of you that are here in the building. And we're going to start the journey in Scripture this morning through prayer, because God working through his Spirit into our understanding brings transformation and change in our lives. And that's what we're really looking for. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your faithfulness. You're such a good, such a powerful and present God. Lord, we sense you right here in our worship journey. We're asking that you would take the next 30 minutes of our journey together, that you would cause our minds to be crisp, our understanding to be sharp and quick, so that we can catch what you're communicating with us today. God, you're real, you're present and powerful, and you're here. So God, we're asking that you would do this. We give you our yes. We make room in our minds right now and give you our full attention. You have us to work your will according to your plan and purpose, God, by your Spirit and through your word, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I want to encourage you to get out whatever you're going to be taking notes with this morning, whether it's your phone. And by the way, I hope you're actually taking notes on your phone. I'm just going to take it in good faith that that's what you're doing. If I see a phone in your hand, you're taking studious notes. I just take that on faith. If you have something to write on, if you're old school and you like the tactical feel of writing on paper, I encourage you to do that as well. So, but whatever you choose to do that with, be sure and capture what God talks to you about this morning. Because when we hear God talk to us and then we receive it and apply it, it brings transformation into our lives. We talked a moment ago about the scripture that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 12. And he was talking about what happens when people don't contend for unity. When civilizations, or when cities, nations, cities, households even, don't contend for unity, then division begins to work its way into their experience. And the result of division is a crumbling experience where everything that was important and good comes to nothing. And Jesus said, listen, if you don't watch out, if you're not proactive, that's what happens. And so this morning I want to give you a couple of pointers, because we're really working our way through this season and there's lots of things vying for our attention, and some of them are very compelling. And some of the points of perspective really are things that we share with each other easily, and then some of them we have different points of perspective. And so when it comes to working towards unity, sometimes just practical help can help. So sometimes it's important to acknowledge that there are things we see differently. And when we see things differently, the important thing to do is acknowledge we see things differently, which really means that there's space for all of us to grow in something. That makes sense? So what do you do when you see things differently than the person sitting next to you? You don't ignore it. You don't pretend it isn't there. You don't just gloss over it. You acknowledge it. You acknowledge the relationship we share is more important than the things we see differently. So we're going to acknowledge that we see things differently, but we're also open to the fact that that means there's some things we can both grow in understanding. If you're a husband married to a wife, you know you see things differently. If you're a wife married to a husband, you know you see things differently. And instead of just fighting about the differences and hoping the other one just becomes exactly like you, you acknowledge there's a difference. And then you grow in your understanding. But if you focus on the differences all the time, eventually the tension gives way and you begin to be divided. So what do? You acknowledge that there is a difference, but you don't focus all the time on the difference, because if you focus on the difference, difference divides. Do you see it? So what do you do? What do you focus on? You focus on things where your mission is the same, where your mission does overlap. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. And we're talking about the function of good news. Everyone say good news. I love hearing good news, and I love sharing good news. Today, that's the topic that we're going to focus on today, because as believers in Christ, this is one area where all of our lives do share a common mission, and that is the Great Commission, where Jesus says, here's what I'm commissioning all of you who call me your Lord, me your Savior, who follow me. This is a mission I'm calling all of you on, and you share it together. It's called the good news of the gospel. All right? And if you look back at what we've experienced this year we've been through a global response to a pandemic. We've had an extraordinary journey through our nation that has been quite visible on racial tensions. We've had an extraordinarily tense year of the democratic process of elections. If you just look at all the things that have been happening this year, it's rife and filled with things that could easily divide anyone. And if you don't get proactive at standing against division, we'll fall right into the flow of division and the tension will pull us all apart. But if you think about what's happened this year with all of those things, what we're also watching is an extraordinary rise in markers of all the wrong kinds. Addictions are higher than they've ever been. Alcoholism is higher than it's ever been. Pornography use is higher than it's ever been. Suicides are higher than they've ever been. If you just look at all the things, the trends that you see happening in the flow of our culture right now, as a result of all the issues that we're going through, a lot of the markers that reflect actually the negative or destructive types of encounters we have as people, all those markers are going the wrong direction. What am I saying? I'm saying that we who have the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are in the perfect position to actually make a difference, because the world has never needed good news more than it needs it right now. How many of you know that's true? So we're going to talk a little bit this morning about what God has called us to do. And I love this, because perspective about this really matters. In fact, I remember a story one time I heard about two shoe salesmen that were on a ship headed to an island for their first time to sell shoes on this island. And each of them got off with a different perspective. And one of them got off, both of them got off, and they noticed nobody on the island wore shoes. So one of them took notes and he said, when I get home, I'm going to tell the factory, cancel all the orders because nobody here wears shoes. The other guy wrote down in his journal, when I get home, I'm going to tell the factory to double the production because nobody here wears shoes. What are we saying? Perspective about an issue really does make a difference. It can either shut you down or it can open you up. And today, I hope that what we talk about both here in the campus online and on the campus actually will inspire you to open up your understanding of what it means to share, to bear and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, right now, I also happen to feel like that there's a good chance that many of you are like, oh, we're going to talk about outreach and evangelism today. Ooh, that's not my favorite topic. I'm already kind of guarded against that. But I want to encourage you just to let go for about 15 or 20 minutes and let God really move some ideas into your understanding that I think will make a difference for you and change your perspective on that. All right? So I want to start with looking at Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, you can open that up. If you don't, you can read it on the screen, but I want you to look at this. The scripture says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, our God reigns. In other words, I'm bringing you good news today that God is sovereign. He's in charge. He's still reigning no matter what's going on in our world around us. There is a God who's still in charge and making things happen, and we can connect with him and experience what he has for us. How many of you know that is good news? All right, so notice it says, however, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. That's just kind of a weird way of saying this, because most people don't look at feet too much. It's just not the first thing you look at. You see people's eyes, you see their hair, you shake their hands or give them an elbow. How many of you have come close to giving somebody a high five and almost smacked them in the face because your aim is off? An elbow in the wrong spot. It's just, you got to pay attention when you're connecting with people. But the bottom line is, feet aren't normally the first thing we look at when we're connecting with a person. So this is just an awkward way of saying it, but culturally it made sense to them. What he's really saying is, hey, one of the most beautiful things in all the world to God is a person who's on mission sharing the good news. That's really what he's really working on. So, interestingly enough, that's a core part of our mission as a congregation. LifeLink Church, we link people and God together for life. So that's one of our primary focal points as a church family. One of the ways we've been doing this historically is, as a congregation, we've been in the habit of inviting people to come to church with us and to worship with us. Well, this year has really thrown a curve at that because we're socially distanced. We've got a little less seating capacity. A lot of people are a little intimidated by the idea of connecting and inviting personal participation. And so when you think about the dynamics we've been working through this year, there's some subtle yet effective things that may have gotten in your way of thinking, I'm going to invite you to come to church. I'm going to invite you to come to church. Well, what I want you to realize is that while that is an effective way at helping a person come to connect with the message of the gospel, because at LifeLink Church, almost every Sunday, we close with an invitation for a person to say yes to Jesus. So whether you're here in the building or whether you're online, we always end with that opportunity. And it is an effective way of helping a person connect with the message of the good news. But one of the things that we're watching God do, I believe, in response to what we're experiencing this year, is God saying, in addition to that, I'm going to equip you to, I want to remind you of what your role is as a believer in Christ, not just when you're in the building or not just when you're watching online, but when you're in the flow of your everyday life. When you're in the flow of your everyday life. Jesus is basically pointing out that we don't have a harvest problem, we have a worker problem. In other words, there's a shift we need in our personal perspective. And he says it this way when it comes to this particular challenge. Luke chapter 10, verse 2 says, NIV says, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In other words, it's not that there's less population. He said the harvest is plentiful. There's plenty of people around, but people who are engaged in the function of working the harvest, that the worker number is few. Do y'all see it? So he says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Then he says this, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out more workers into his harvest field. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the function of evangelism. The function of evangelism. Everyone say evangelism. Evangelism. Now that brings some interesting feelings to some of us, because depending on your experience with that issue or that function, that might be a really good experience you had with somebody who actually sat down with you and said, I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me because I feel like there's some things he can do for you. And maybe you had a really good experience with someone who actually did this right in your personal experience, and it really made all the difference. Or maybe you are one who has perhaps had an awkward experience with somebody just basically was screaming in your face, you know, turn or burn, you're going to hell if you don't get your stuff right, you know, all those kinds of things. And so sometimes we have a poor experience with understanding the function of evangelism based on an experience we've had. But I want to spend just a couple of minutes and really break this down with you, because whether we've had a good experience or a poor experience doesn't change the difference, doesn't change the mission that we're on as believers. Jesus still commissioned us to do the work of evangelism. Everyone say evangelism. Evangelism. So if you're not familiar with that particular word, in the Greek word, it's pronounced euangelion, which really comes from two different parts of grammar in that language put together. EU, the U pronunciation of euangelion really comes from that part of the word which you'd almost hear when you hear the word eulogy. What is that? It's the part of a commemoration where someone stands up and says, let me tell you the finer points of this person's life and the difference. Let me give you the message of this person's life. He or she was born here. Here's some of the finer points of their life. And when we eulogize a person, we're sharing the high points of the good parts of that person's life to inspire someone to really appreciate and honor what that person's life meant. Does that make sense? That's the you part. Angelion really is the word we get the word angel from, which in the biblical context means messenger. So when you hear the word evangelism, you're really hearing both of these two things, the message and the messenger put together. So evangelism is a person, a messenger, who's sharing in an effective way a good message about who God is and what God did. Does that make sense? And in a way, it's really difficult to separate those two things, because evangelism takes both. Listen, the good news of who Jesus is and what he did is settled. Nothing that we say or do is ever going to change who he is and what he did. It's established. But its effectiveness is tied directly to the person who's willing to share the good news with somebody else. And this is our part, is to take the good news of who he is and share it with people, because in essence, we're God's plan A and there is no plan B. We're the ones who share. So what I want to do this morning is spend a few minutes. We're going to review some things that we actually cover in part in our growth track. And so most of you have been through our growth track, and that's part of what LifeLink offers, to equip people to experience all that God has for them. There's a process we have as a congregation called Growth Track. And it's designed to take a person at the point of their decision to say yes to Jesus, either to give their life to him or to say yes to being added to the LifeLink Church family. But in other words, from that yes, then we give them a process that we invite them to go down through, which is called Growth Track, which helps them connect with who Jesus is, helps them connect with who LifeLink Church is, helps them connect with who God's created them to be, and then how to take all of those things to make a difference in the world. And it's a fantastic journey of discovery. We offer that. It's called Growth Track. In fact, if you haven't been through it, there's some information on the screen. Just jot that down or take a picture of it. All you need to do is text GT to that number on the screen there, and it takes you right to where you can start that process or finish that process if you've started and haven't finished it. But in the middle of that, we actually cover what we're going to talk about today, because this is part of LifeLink's core message, part of our core mission, and that is to link people and God together. Well, linking people and God together doesn't happen by itself. It takes the gospel, which is the good news of Christ, being shared by people who follow Christ with somebody who doesn't yet follow Christ. Does that make sense? So we're going to go through this morning. All right, when it comes to sharing the gospel, there are really four simple steps. I'm going to encourage you to write these down. When it comes to sharing the gospel, and this is something that we also have listed in our growth track, so it's there. If you go through this course, you'll see it. It's there. But the first thing we have to do when it comes to sharing the gospel is I have to accept the personal responsibility. In other words, the gospel is not going to share itself. I have to take the personal responsibility to share the gospel. Got it? All right. The gospel doesn't just walk down the street sharing itself. We share it. And when I say we share it, what I really mean is you share it and I share it. Because, see, if you share it and I share it, then we are sharing it. But the way most of us think of we is we share it, which means somebody else shares it and I don't have to deal with it. But what God is actually saying is, hey, this is part of your mission. And your life won't make sense at all until you actually get my mission as a core part of who you are. Because I've created you to follow who I am and live the way I've designed you to live, which is in relationship with me. And part of that mission is sharing that same result with somebody else who doesn't yet follow me. And so I want to encourage you this morning. We've got to accept the personal responsibility. Again, you're God's plan A, and there is no plan B. Romans 10, verse 13 through 15 says it this way. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he says this. He says that's going to happen when they call on the name of the Lord. They're going to be, what's the word? In other words, when they do that, their life is going to change. Their eternity is going to change. The everyday life that they live is going to change. All of it changes when they do that. So we're like, great, that's fantastic news. Then he goes on to say this, how can they call on the one they've not heard or they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they've not heard of? And how can they hear without somebody actually preaching this to them? In other words, that's what's going to happen when they say yes, but they can't actually say yes unless they believe it. They can't believe it unless they hear it, and they'll never hear it unless somebody shares it. Okay, so here's what we're on the hook for. We are not on the hook for them believing and receiving. Got it? What we're on the hook for is the sharing. Okay? So in case you have performance anxiety and you're thinking, I don't know if I can do this because I don't know if I can talk them into this, you're focused on the wrong part of it. See, our responsibility is not specifically their response. Our responsibility is our sharing. Our sharing. And that's what he's saying. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. But then how can they do it if they've not believed? How can they believe the one they've not heard? How can they hear without someone being willing to preach? And how can they preach unless somebody is sent? So guess what we're doing today, everybody? We are ascending today. I'm sending all of you. And I'm right there with you, which means I'm sending me. You know why we're sending today? Because we actually intend to be very focused on the mission that God's called us to accomplish. Why? Because it matters. It actually matters. It matters in your life, and it matters in the people you're willing to share with. It'll make a difference in their life. Goes on to say, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. What's he saying? God is saying, hey guys, I want you to know, I created this cosmos, I created the Grand Canyon, I created pristine blue oceans, I created atomic worlds, I created all these things. I'm not impressed with any of it. You know what inspires me? You know what draws my attention? The beauty of someone on mission sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. And I want you to know, when Jesus said earlier that the harvest is ready, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, what he's saying is, I want you to know this. People are ready to receive it. Right now, there are people who are ready to hear the good news of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. They're ready. The question I have for you is, are we actively looking for them? Does this even register on your care meter? Is your soul stirred at all about lost people? Now, let me just challenge you in the role that God has called me to serve you in. This, you know, sometimes pastors are called on to hold people up, come alongside of people who are going through crisis, put the arms around them and just hold them together and hold people up. Sometimes pastors are called on to fire people up. In other words, say, hey, here's what's needed. Let's get inspired by this. And then sometimes pastors are called to light people up. And if you were raised in my era of childhood, you know what that means. There's a warning on the behind side. Okay, I mean to inspire. This is not a warming on the behind side. This is a fire up message, okay? So no guilt, no condemnation, none of that stuff. But I am going to ask you some questions that might twinge you a little bit. And I really would love to invite you to let the Holy Spirit do this in you today. Do you care genuinely about lost people? Do you feel a burden for lost people? Does it bother you that people are actually still separated from God and lost in life and lost in eternity? Now, you don't have to tell me. That's not the point. I don't have to know if you care or not. I'm asking you, do you? Because it matters. Let me ask it to you this way. Do you care about lost people as much as you care about who won the election? Because I guarantee you, you've got strong feelings about the electoral process we just went through, either for or against the results, but almost nobody couldn't care less. So we know what it feels like to care about something. My question is, do we care about lost people? Because to God, the beautiful sight's not who's sitting in the seat at the White House. He just does that. What he says is beautiful to me are people who care about what I care about. And I care about lost people. Why? Because we get one shot in life to get this right. One shot in eternity to get this right. And that shot in eternity is called life. So I do want you to feel the gravity of what we're talking about, because this is not just about Christian busy work. This is actually part of the mission that life is designed to actually have when we say yes to Jesus. This is part of it. And if we ignore this or suppress this and push this down, listen to me carefully. It affects everything else about life. I don't know if you've ever struggled with depression or not. But one of the, not, and I'm not a clinical psychologist, but I do understand that one of the causes of depression is a person who will not process anger correctly. So they repress it, and they repress it, and they stuff it, and they stuff it, and they stuff it, and they stuff it. And eventually, it doesn't just affect the issue that they're mad about, it starts to color everything in life. And I submit to you this morning that there is a parallel that goes on in the life of many Christ followers who actually treat Christianity like a cruise ship. Who basically say, what is in it for me? Come on, entertain me. Make this happy for me. And don't get me wrong, God's got some really good stuff for you. God's got freedom, God's got blessings, God's got deliverance, God's got equipping, God's got anointing, God's got purpose, God's got provision, God's got peace, he's got presence, he's got transformation. God has all of these things for you and for me, and boy, am I ever glad. But if the primary motivation for me is just what about me, at the expense of what about them, then I'm out of line with who God says I'm supposed to be. And it's not just so that he's happier, but when I'm in line with who God's created me to be, I also experience all the things he's created me to experience. So I submit to you this morning that getting this right is not about filling church buildings or getting online numbers up higher. It's about you and me stepping into the intentional reach God's designed us to have, because that's the nature of our Savior, Christ, who left all that was rightfully his in heaven to intervene into our brokenness. And he says, this is what I did. I did this for you. And if you follow me, part of your life is going to be invested in doing this for others. And I will tell you, some of the most miserable Christians I know are people whose heads are chock full of doctrine and truth and power and all those other things, but they're bitter and they're stuffy and they're cold because all they are is judgmental. Thanks. I'm doing my best. By the way, I grew up Pentecostal. I love feedback like that. It really helps shorten the sermons. So if you want shorter sermons, say back a lot of stuff. It just makes it go faster. And I believe one of the things that God is reminding us as his body, LifeLink Church, as his people, you, as households of his, is this is a core part of who he's created us to be, and has created life to be experienced. And it won't happen by itself. We have to decide. People are ready for the good news. And even if your primary gift is not the gift of evangelism, which mine isn't, One of my primary gifts is the gift of apostle, and the other one is the gift of teaching. But just because my primary gift is not evangelism doesn't mean I shouldn't be out evangelizing. This is part of who we are as Christ followers. So I do want to encourage you, as we're looking about to this issue, taking personal responsibility, let's acknowledge that it won't happen by itself. We're commissioned to do this. This is who God's created us to be. And life doesn't work like it's supposed to work unless this is in its place. This is in its place. So my hope is, as a practical application, is that starting today, moving forward, the Holy Spirit is going to put this up in your radar screen. Like when you're driving down the road and a big grasshopper or something splatters right in front of your windshield. And it always happens right in front of you, right? It never happens on that side of the windshield. It's always right there. And then what do? You hit the windshield wiper with the washer, but there's not quite enough fluid, so all it does is just put a big smear back and forth, and then you wish you wouldn't have done that. My hope is the Holy Spirit puts a big smear right here. Evangelism. So that you're reminded, I'm reminded, that as I go through every day, I'm looking for people whose time is now. Jesus said, they're there, but I won't see them unless I'm looking. That makes sense? Hey, you guys still here? So let me give you a couple of pointers of what you may be looking for, a pattern you may be looking for. When people go through painful circumstances or crisis, pain and crisis tend to be circumstances that make us more open to God and what He's doing. All right? It's the corollary of that is like being hungry. I don't care what's in front of you. If you're not hungry, if you're chock full, anything, at some point chocolate cake doesn't even look good. Like, another bite. No, thank you. But if you're starving, man, Spam looks good. Now, you got to be starving for Spam to look good. But sometimes pain and crisis in a person's life, and you can hear it as you're talking to somebody. You don't even have to know them. You can just hear it. So be looking for that in your standing in line at whatever it is or your wherever you're at. You be looking. And it might just be the Holy Spirit showing you, hey, share this here. And we're going to talk about some practical stuff here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to wrap this up. So sometimes crisis, but not always. I'm going to share, crisis is not the only thing that actually works. Let me share a win. How many of you want some fun news this morning, some good news? All right, so we were talking with some of the coaches in the Dream Team huddle before service this morning, and I was asking for wins, and Kayla shared this about an invite card win. She said, Molly, who's their little five-year-old, takes an invite card pack from the ladies' lounge every Sunday. Okay, so if you're not sure what the invite cards look like, they're on the tables out in the lobby. They look like this. All right, and on the front it just says, you are invited. On the back there's some service time information, how to find us online, all those other things. And there's a blank space for you to write your name and phone number. So she takes a pack of those at a five-year-old out from the ladies' lounge every Sunday. She said, when we were at the Starbucks drive-thru, she asked me to roll her window down. So must be sitting behind her in the window. She gave our barista a card and invited her to join us at LifeLink Church in Gilbert. She literally said LifeLink Church in Gilbert. And that lady seemed so excited, and she said she would keep the card and check it out, and then she put it in her apron. So I wanted to share that little win with you this morning because that's this particular reality at work in the heart of a five-year-old. I'm inspired by that this morning. So if we're going to actually be effective at sharing the gospel, four things we got to do. Number one, we have to accept the personal responsibility. Number two, we need to develop a personal relationship. Develop a personal relationship. When it comes to doing this, I've got to take the responsibility to do it. The second thing is I need to develop a personal relationship. Now, let me give you two quick points on this. One is it may be a long-term relationship you're working on, or it could be points of relatability in a single conversation. That makes sense? So not everything is a long-term relationship. Sometimes you're looking for, hey, I know that situation you're going through, I've been through that. Or my sister went through that. In other words, we're looking for relatability. Relatability. Most people think that the next step once you actually take on the responsibility is find people who are sinning and tell them everything that's wrong in their life. That's not the next step. The next step is not tell them everything that you know about who God is. The next step is not to impress people with your terminology and your doctrinal understanding. It really never comes down to what you know that actually causes people to care. You know what people care about? They want to know that you care about them. They don't want to feel the pressure to care about what you know. They want to feel the relatability. So let's take the personal responsibility. Number two, let's connect with the relatability of where they are. It's not about people impressing people to come where you are. It's about having them feel that you're connecting with them where they are. Where they are. Let me give this little phrase. You want to connect before you correct. Got it? If people feel you coming at them to fix them, to correct them, they'll do what you would do if somebody's coming to correct you. Right? No, nobody wants to be corrected. We all want to feel connected. If I feel you connect with me, then I'm actually open to hear what you have to share with me. And I may be willing to change some things about what's going on in me if I feel you're actually connecting with me. Do you feel it? Jesus did this with Zacchaeus. If you're familiar at all with the New Testament account, then you know the story. If you don't, there was a tax collector who was a known crook to everyone in his culture. And Jesus, who is divine and who is God, didn't actually need his divine knowledge about who Zacchaeus was to let him know he was a crook. Everybody knew who Zacchaeus was. But what Jesus did is he came alongside, and Zacchaeus was too short to see over the crowd, so he climbed up in a tree. Jesus saw him, and he actually, instead of saying, Zacchaeus, you're a crook, you're a criminal, you're going to hell. If you're from the South, it's hey-yo, it's two syllables. But instead of correcting him, he connected with him. He said, hey, Zacchaeus, let's go have lunch. Let's go to the Olive Garden. Let's sit down over, what was he doing? He was finding some points of common ground. Why? It wasn't that he didn't know something was wrong with his life. He knew something was wrong with his life. But instead of starting with what was wrong with his life, he said, hey, let's connect. Now, we don't know what happened at that lunch, but we do know this. 10 verses later, Zacchaeus came out a completely changed man. He basically said, if I've stolen from you, I'll repay you twice. In other words, what happened as a result of that connection was a real transformation. But notice what Jesus started with. It wasn't, here's where you're wrong. It's, hey, I see you. Let's connect. We see this borne out in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the second part of verse 22 in the Living Bible. It says this. Paul's writing, it says, yes, whatever a person is like, I tried to find common ground with him so he will let me tell him about Christ and then let Christ save him. So when it comes to sharing the gospel, first of all, I've got to take personal responsibility. Secondly, I need to build the bridge of relatability. I need to connect with the person. The third thing is, write this down, I'm going to need to share my personal story. I need to share my personal story. Again, this is another point that we often find people miss the point of what this issue is. It's not telling them where they're wrong. It's showing them what God's done for you. In other words, once you connect with a person and the relatability's there, then the very next thing is, again, is not to tell them everything that's wrong in their life. It's to say, I sense it. I got it. I sense where you are. I feel. I know where you're talking. I'm connected. I'm there. I want to share with you something God did for me in that particular part of life. So if I can share with them my story, notice I'm still not telling them what's wrong in their life. I'm just sharing with them, here's what God did for me. What's happening? They've been seen. They've been connected with. Now they're being inspired with something that God did in somebody else. That's called the story, the testimony. First Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16 says it this way. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. And he says this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. In other words, what's implied in the syntax of that sentence is they're open to what you have to say. They're asking. So be ready to share with them and give them the answer when they're open. When they're open, when they begin to ask, when there's an openness, that's when you start sharing. But then he says, do this in gentleness and respect. This is again where the message and the messenger have to be connected in the right way. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. In other words, change their mindset by changing the story of what God has done for you. Again, it's still not telling them everything that's wrong with them. Listen, we know when we're sinning against God. There's a knowing inside. People don't have to have us running that down their throat. They know it. But when we're prepared to give an answer for the hope and the reason we have that hope, once they open themselves, then we can share that. That's what we're looking for. And number four, give them a personal invitation. Give them a personal invitation. Give them a personal invitation. Let me give you three little points about what this could mean. And all we're doing is a very practical journey through. Here's what it means to be looking for lost people, being ready to share, and being part of what Jesus actually means for his body or his followers to be a part of that process of finding the lost. So when you share your story and you sense that openness, then you ask them for something. You ask them, can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? You know what I know about most people? Most people will just say yes. Most people are not resistant to being prayed for, especially if they're in a need or there's a crisis element or something going on in their life. Most people don't resist that. They actually want that. So to say, at the point I see you, I've connected with you, I've shared the inspirational story of what God's done for me, and the last part of that is, hey, I'd like to just give you an invitation. You don't have to say the word invitation, but you can just say, can I pray with you? Just before we're done, can I just say a quick word of prayer? And maybe that prayer is about something that is a need in their life. It could be that they're saying yes to Jesus at that point, and all you would need to do is just lead them through the sinner's prayer. But giving them the invitation gives you the ability to come alongside and give their heart words, their mouth words to say that the heart is already saying. What do they want? Connection with God. Connection with God. Sometimes it's an easy place to actually pull that little invitation card out and say, hey, if you don't have a place to worship at, I'd like to ask you to come with me. Worship on Sundays with me at LifeLink. Here's the connection card. Get my phone number on it, my name. Give that to them. Maybe you can just tell they're not in a season where they actually want to go anywhere in person. You can say, hey, I'll meet you in the chat room online at the 11:30 service. Here's how you can, I'll be on YouTube and I'll be looking for you. I'll be on Facebook and I'll be looking for you. And check in with me. If you'd like to text me just when you sign on, let me know what your handle is. I'll look for you. We'll connect there. What are we doing? We're being intentional with reaching for people, for evangelism. Which is why Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, again, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to everyone around us, hey, God reigns. Listen, in closing, We're in a season right now where the people that we live all that live all around us have never needed it more than they need it now. What they really need is hope. They really need the good news of the gospel. And you know who's the only one that can give it to them? People who follow Christ. People who follow Christ. So this morning, I want to remind you that. Are you looking? I don't know, Pastor Dave. I'm just not that good at this kind of stuff. I'm going to give you one more little angle on this, and then we'll close. You ever been around a parent who just lost a child? Like literally they're in a zoo or something like that, and they just turn around and they can't find their kid? Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe not the zoo. Maybe at Walmart, which is a zoo. It just takes about 2 seconds for your mind to fill in all the blanks about all of a sudden you see their face on the missing child carton, on the posters. All of a sudden, something happens on the inside of us. And we don't need a 35-minute message to tell us, here's what to do. Here's how to look. Nobody asks the questions, oh my goodness, I'm not that good at looking for kids who are lost. Nobody asks that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, when it dawns on you, they're lost, something shifts on the inside, and we instantly know what to do. We start looking. Nobody asks, what do I say when I find her? Nobody asks that kind of stuff. It's just, oh my gosh, I got to go. And instantly, people just scatter. Why? Because the urgency of the lost. So this morning, as God is working with us as a congregation, a family of believers who actually could be divided in any number of different ways, he said, hey, don't be divided. Don't focus on things that divide you. Instead, focus on what I focus on most. My heart is constantly distracted, not by the worship of the people who are already in the house, but by the lost who aren't there yet. Focus on that. Why? Because that's where my eye is at. That's why it's so beautiful to me when my people do what I've called them to do. Do you feel that this morning? I don't know how more passionate I can be to hopefully connect with where we are as a church family and where we are in the era of time. And the fact that we are like people who know what it's like to be on mission. On mission. And the reality is that no matter how good of a life we try to get, if this part of it's not in the place it's supposed to be in our journey, the rest of our life is going to feel wobbly. It's going to feel depressed. It's going to feel it's out of kilter a little bit. Why? Because this is the mission we're all supposed to be on. We're all called to be on it. So let me pray for us this morning because I believe God is doing a big work. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your faithfulness. You are such a good God. Thank you for the realignment of our attention this morning. Thank you so much, God, for your faithfulness to us. Jesus, thank you for leaving heaven when we were so broken to intervene into the brokenness of our mess of a life. To move into our world with the gift of eternal life, salvation. To pay the price by dying on Calvary's cross. For the opportunity to be reconnected with our Heavenly Father. In a relationship that makes all the difference in the world. God, we're reminded that you did that for us. I ask, God, that you would pour out on this congregation a passion for lost people. That you wouldn't just remind us, but you would smear that perspective across the windshield of our day, that we would just be on purpose looking for people who are lost. Not being responsible for their response, just being responsible for our share. And God, being fulfilled every time we have a chance to connect with somebody whose life you're about to change. God, I thank you for that. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to talk to those of you who may not feel you're able to do this yet, but it's because you're not actually in a relationship with God right now. So maybe you're here in the building or maybe you're watching online. But just before we dismiss today, I want to say that God is reaching for you right where you are. The gift of eternal life is here for you too. And the message about the mission we're on, really, if you're not in relationship with Him, then all you have to do is open your heart to receive it and watch Jesus start connecting the dots of what He's doing in your life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, I'm going to ask that you would open your heart, open your mouth, and say these words together with me. Heavenly Father, come on everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, I pray, for every sin I've ever committed. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you. I've decided to follow you. No turning back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.